Welcome to RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.
Good morning, everyone. Andrew Mays with you for the Breakfast Spot on RSN 927 on this Monday morning. Very chilly start to your week, as Johnny Bowden mentioned, 7 degrees outside, so rug up on your way to work this morning. We'll start with the footy from yesterday, just the one game, of course, during these bye rounds. Toby Green was outstanding to get the Giants over the line.
Green to Hopper. To Canelio. Oh, brilliant grab. And slick hands to Green back again. And he keeps it low. He's rolled that all the way home. Phenomenal.
Bit of fun as well between Heath Shaw beating his brother coaching the opposition side, North Melbourne.
Oh, it's great. It's a bit different. I think the whole family's pretty proud of where me and Reece are at. And for us to come up against each other at an AFL level is pretty good.
And all eyes this morning throughout the Breakfast Club as well will be on the final round of the US Open as Gary Woodland tries to secure his first major.
ITA!
Come on, you've got to be kidding me. Take that, field.
Plenty more sport to come throughout the Breakfast Spot as well. We'll update you on the cricket from overnight. That match, India and Pakistan, watched by over a billion people. Supercars, NRL, tennis, and plenty more footy news.
You're listening to RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.
Don't forget, on the Breakfast Club this morning, Rodney Eade will be joining Half Whitey and Scotty Gallen. We've given BJ another 24 hours to get back from the United States as he finished his caddying duties over the weekend. So Scott Gallen in for Brendan Goddard on your Monday. Looking forward to hearing Rodney Eade's thoughts from 7 o'clock. This morning, the Monday analyst will join us. We'll head over to the UK as well to get the latest on that cricket result from overnight, India beating Pakistan, but it is such a massive game in the context of world sport, really, watched by over a billion people. Adam Collins, our reporter over there, will have the latest. The early mail before 7 o'clock as we try and get your weekend off, or week rather, off to the perfect start. Rowan Marshall will join us from the Saints. Mark Stevens from Channel 7 with the latest on a bit of a scare down at St Kilda yesterday, and we might catch up with BJ too, who's about to jump on a plane back home, but we'll ask him how he went carrying the clubs in the first couple of rounds of the US Open. What an experience for him. Let's start with the footy news though, and as you heard, GWS too good for North Melbourne yesterday down at Blundstone Arena. 23 point winners, 14-7-91 over North Melbourne, 10-8-68. We'll hear from Leon Cameron here, the GWS coach, heading into the bye. He gave us an indication of where he thinks they're at.
You know, we're 9-4 and we're probably a little bit banged up at the moment, but like everyone coming into the bye, everyone sort of likes to have that bye, and so we need a little bit of a spell. I mean, ours is a really short bye. We've got 10 days. We play Essendon at Marv on a Thursday night. So, our guys are going to... It was a really physical game, so our guys are going to need the 48 hours to 72 hours to get over this game. And they play a physical brand, and we do as well. And, I thought that was a real pleasing thing. So we need to recover and then, back on deck sort of later in the week, and then it starts again. So, in terms of where you want to be, I mean, everyone wants to be around that top four mark because you're trying to shuffle for spots. But we know we've got a fair bit of work to do to continue to, learn to win on the road. I mean, we're 5 at home and 4 on the road, which is a good ratio. But, we've got another one on the road in 10 days. So we need to, keep playing a brand of footy that ultimately keeps you in the game right up till three-quarter time. And then footy's that good at the moment in terms of, some cracking games. You want to be in it come three-quarter time, and we place ourselves in a good position to do that.
Leon Cameron speaking yesterday after the win. Let's head to the other side of the fence now. Reece Shaw on his first loss as North Melbourne coach.
It's not great. it's never a great feeling to lose. I'm pretty disappointed, but I'm also optimistic about where we're going and where we're headed. I think we've got 9 games after the bye to really do something, and I don't see any reason why we can't do that. Even though we lost tonight, there's still signs we can still do something in the second half of the year. I think our guys really fought hard to be in that position, and again we gave away a few cheap goals which have hurt us a little bit this year, but we also knew that their midfield was really classy, and they played pretty well in terms of how they went about it, in terms of weight and numbers. You can see the statistical difference between our midfield and theirs.
To Simon Lethlean, now head of footy down at St Kilda, there was a bit of a scare yesterday in the VFL with Max King landing awkwardly, and there was a few fears that he might have done some serious damage to that knee that he's coming back from being reconstructed. Let's have a listen to the St Kilda footy boss with an update.
Obviously, we're concerned based on his history, so looks like it's more, in my terminology, it's a jarred knee and no disruption to the previous graft. So, yeah, pretty positive. His parents were a bit, you know, emotional and concerned, as you would be, the pretty talented kid who's had a strong 14 months of, you know, rehabbing and getting himself right. So to get some positive news for the first time in a little while, injury-wise, for the Saints is good.
Yeah, a bit of a scare there yesterday. Mark Stevens will join the Breakfast Club after about 8:15 this morning, just with a bit of an update on that knee injury and possibly a timeline for his return, plus a bit of news on a few other St Kilda senior players, hopefully making their return in the next couple of weeks. More footy to come a little later on in the Breakfast Bite, but now let's get to the cricket. Overnight, India and Pakistan played. There was more rain at Old Trafford. It has been raining cats and dogs there over in the UK. 5 for 336 India made, and then the rain came just before the end of their innings. So they finally got back out, were able to finish the last couple of overs, and then it came again. So Pakistan, 6 for 212. Their target from 40 overs was 302, so falling 89 runs short on the Duckworth-Lewis method. So Pakistan going down to India there overnight. More on that in just a second with Jeff Lemon, who will join us from over in the UK. Meanwhile, Ricky Ponting spoke on the Cricket Australia website after the strong victory for the Aussies over Sri Lanka on the weekend, and he reflected in particular on the form of Aaron Finch.
Seeing him play like that is pretty satisfying. I think, you know, to see a captain stand up in World Cups is great for the team, and it's more the way he's going about it. He made some significant changes to his technique as well. You see the way he's setting up now. He's setting up a lot more leg side of the ball and trying to get a bit more access to the ball to hit the ball down the ground, and he did that really well today. So it just goes to show how dangerous he is. It's almost like his second home ground here as well. He's got a great feeling about playing here at the Oval and in front of what he'd probably say are some of his fans. So, no, so far so good with him. And if he keeps leading the way like that, then good signs for us.
When did that start, those technical changes that you're talking about? Obviously, I imagine it's before you came on as assistant coach. And what have you kind of done to, I guess, improve them?
So I spent a fair bit of time working with him, but just working with him on the things that he's been changing, if you like. His whole setup's completely different. Whereas before he was worried about covering his off stump and getting a long way across his stumps, he's forgotten about his off stump now and almost setting up down to the leg stump line and allowing him to use his hands a little bit more. And as you saw, when you see a batsman straight driving the ball well like he is, it's a really good sign, and it's probably something that he hasn't been able to do for the majority of his career. So, he's going great, but whatever work he's done is certainly paying off for him.
I mean, that on drive early on in his innings, did you kind of see that and almost open your eyes and kind of realise he was on?
Oh, I've seen it for a couple of weeks, to be honest. Even with the way that the stuff that we drilled yesterday, you could see, you know, that he is hitting the ball particularly well. And someone like him as well, that's strong off front and back foot, the margin for error for the bowlers becomes very small. And even the first ball he played today was just back of a length and just outside off stump, and he went back and hit a beautiful back foot cover drive to get off the mark. So when you see guys playing, picking up length quickly, punching the ball through the offside off the back foot, and then being able to drive the ball down the ground off the front foot, I know, having been there before, it's a good place to be as a batsman.
Is it as well as you've seen him bat before?
It's got to be close. I mean, he's we know that he had that lean run for a while, but since then, the last 7 or 8 months, it's been the prolific Aaron Finch that we're used to seeing at the top of the order. And today's innings, I mean, 153 in a World Cup game, that'd probably be as close as I've seen him play, yeah.
Ricky Ponting reflecting on the very strong innings from Aaron Finch on the weekend. Good to see the Australians chalking up another victory, which is important considering there has been so many washouts. Let's head to the UK now with Jeff Lemon, who joins us on the line. You can, of course, hear him throughout the World Cup on RSN 927 as part of the Final Word podcast. Jeff, good morning and welcome to RSN 927. Oh, he's gone. Just chopped out there. We might try and catch up with Jeff later on in the breakfast, but if not, Adam Collins will be a part of the Breakfast Club in about 45 minutes' time. Just repeating that result from overnight. India, 5 for 336. Pakistan chasing a revised target because of rain of 40 overs, falling 89 runs short, 6 for 212. Just in terms of the golf, a few players have teed off, including Tiger Woods, who's two over for the tournament at the moment through four holes, looking to chip in, and he just leaves that a little left. So he'll tap that in for par. Tiger Woods, a fair way off the pace. He's out early. Gary Woodland leads the way at 11 under. Justin Rose in second spot on 10 under the card, and then a three-way tie for third. Koepka, Reavy and Louis Oosthuizen all at 7 under. So Brooks Koepka, probably the largest of those three in terms of chances. He is lurking just four shots off the pace. We'll bring you live updates of that all throughout the morning. Time for a break on RSN 927. On the other side of this, we'll catch up with all the NRL news from yesterday, including a few new Blues named for State of Origin 2 and a couple of Storm faces there as well, which is great to see. Supercars from yesterday too. Ash Barty has spoken over the weekend, and we'll bring you a little bit more footy news.
RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.
He squares it up out of the last corner and makes history in Darwin. Scott McLaughlin wins the Darwin Triple Crown.
Outstanding work by Scott McLaughlin. Again, the first man to win the Triple Crown in Darwin. That race meeting has been going for 13 years, so his dominance in that Ford Mustang continues. He's a bit blocked up over the weekend. He was a bit worried in his interview straight after he got out of the car.
Thanks, man. No snot rockets? We're good?
We're all good.
I've had a blocked nose all weekend, so again, same deal. So, thank you very much. It's been an awesome thing for all the guys at Shell V-Power Racing, guys and girls, for performance to get the Triple Crown, first person ever, which is really cool, and first team ever. So it's big team effort, and missing our boy Richard at home, but at the UK, but thoughts with him.
You said yesterday you weren't thinking about this Triple Crown thing, but it hasn't been one ever. This is the first time. It's actually a pretty big deal, mate. Congratulations on that. Another tick in your bow.
Yeah, thank you. That's so cool. But I've got a great car, great team. The pit stops are unreal. We had a good battle with Fabs at the start, and I'm just lucky. I'm 26 now and just living the dream, driving race cars. I love driving race cars, and luckily I drive a fast one.
Scott McLaughlin, he certainly does drive a fast one. His dominance of this supercars season continues. Just to give you an indication, in terms of Drivers' Championship, he is on 1,946 points, over 300 points ahead of Fabian Coulthard, his teammate in second spot, David Reynolds, in the Holden Commodore, another 200 points behind him. So Scott McLaughlin's insane season continues. Let's head to the tennis world now, where Ash Barty plays in Birmingham this week in the build-up to Wimbledon, which is just around the corner. She's now world number two in the world, and she spoke about the last couple of weeks in her life and the extra pressure that she might feel heading into the grass season.
It was really nice to see my parents and talk to my family. Obviously, it's been an incredible journey over the last 3 years for myself and Tyres, my coach. He's been with me every single day through some of the toughest moments, and now with me through one of the best moments of my career. And I'm just excited now to be able to try and use all of those experiences that I gained and all of the experiences that I went through in Paris to try and continue to work forward. Oh, it's been remarkable. It really has. The amount of love and support that I've received from not only the Australian public but all around the globe has been incredible. It really has, and it's really nice to see other athletes who I didn't know that were tennis fans that were watching matches and invested in watching women's tennis. And it's been incredible, but certainly an amazing journey for us. It's been a really nice period for my team and myself as well, just to have a few quiet days. it was nice. We jumped up and played a little bit of golf at the Belfry and just kind of cruised around a little bit. And now we're back to work here and excited to start on the grass.
Ash Barty there, who will play in Birmingham tomorrow. We'll update you on that tournament all throughout the next week and, of course, all the build-up to Wimbledon. Let's head to the NRL world now, where there was a couple of inclusions for the Melbourne Storm in the New South Wales side for Origin 2. One of them, the vice-captain Dale Finucane. Great to see him get his chance at Origin level. One of the higher-profile recalls was James Maloney, who was there, part of the winning side, or winning New South Wales side last year. He missed game one, wasn't selected. He's back for game two.
Yeah, completely unexpected. Yeah, excited to get back and try and level this series up.
Did you have this going into last night's game? This on your mind?
No, I didn't. As soon as I'd sort of, missed out on game one, Penrith, we weren't going that well, and I sort of set myself and I said, right, I've got 6 weeks at Penrith here. We can really get this season back on track, and that's where my focus was, and I didn't sort of read into it much of the talk. Wasn't sort of worried about it. We've sort of turned things around at Penrith and I think that's helped get me here.
James Maloney speaking after his recall for Origin 2. Brad Fittler explained why.
Well, I rang Brayton Ash and he said he couldn't play. So I was actually, Jimmy was the last 5'8 that was standing. So pretty much great to have him back in camp. It doesn't take long for Jimmy to warm to everyone. And already you can see that the place has got a different personality.
He's a big game player, isn't he?
Well, he's had some pressure put on him, and the last two games he's been great. He won the game with a field goal in the last 5 minutes on the weekend and set up a try earlier in the game as well. And I think himself mostly understands that we need to play better at the start of the year, and we had expectations of how he should have been playing, and he can just see it's come to this now. And I think the pressure's helped him, and he's come good.
There we go, Brad Fittler speaking yesterday. A couple of games in the NRL during this Origin period. Origin camp has been called. Now, a lot of players leaving their clubs for the next 7 days. But before that, it was Sunday afternoon footy. The doubleheader saw Manly too good for St. George Illawarra, 34 points to 14. And the Sydney Roosters, 38 points to 12 over Canterbury. We'll start with that Roosters game where Latrell Mitchell went over. He's one of the big names from the New South Wales squad that's been dropped, and coach Trent Robinson said how he can help him get back into that Blues jersey.
It's a price to pay, I guess, for the first one, but Angus didn't play last week and Latrell didn't play last week, so I think a bit of that's on, I think he asked them to go back and play well, so a bit of that's on me about not giving him the opportunity to do that. And then, I don't think they could have done more than what they did today. I thought they really worked hard for that today, but, that's the choice of the selectors, I guess. Yeah, I mean, it's hard for me to... Because when you sit in the seat, you often make choices as a coach about the team that you want and the selections that you made, and a lot of people have opinions on that. So I don't want to add weight to that, is my bit. If I was New South Wales coach, then I'd want to select the team that I wanted and that I really wanted on that park. And they've made that choice. My thing is about getting Latrell and Angus and Boyd and Teddy to play the best footy they can possible. And I thought both of them played really, really well tonight.
In the early game, as I mentioned, Manly over St George, 34 points to 14. Coach Des Hasler here after the win.
It was, wasn't too bad. It was probably more the way we put it together. Particularly early on, I thought they sort of dominated possession pretty well. I think we had a couple of unforced errors. They got a run of about 4 penalties, so we had to hang in there. And they got away to 8-0, but we showed a bit of... pleased the way we our defence held, and we limited on their meters, and then when the possession evened up, we were able to capitalise on our field position and go on with it.
Des Hasler after the win. Good news for the Melbourne Storm, 34 points to 4 over Newcastle, which was a bit of a danger game with Kalyn Ponga in such good form at the moment, but the Storm getting the job done. They then play in the grand final rematch on Friday week at the Adelaide Oval, the Roosters taking on the Storm. That will be another big clash between those two heavyweights of the comp. To Super Netball from yesterday, the Vixens beating the Firebirds 71-60. Caitlin Thwaites with 43 goals. Tegan Phillip with 28. So nice win for the Vixens there. They are in third spot on the ladder. Five wins, a draw, and two losses. 41 points overall. The Sydney Swifts 7-1 on 53 points. The Lightning in second on 43 points. And the Giants round out the top four on 30. Magpies just outside that top four at the moment. Collingwood on 27 points from their opening eight fixtures. So Sherelle and the Vixens getting the job done over the Firebirds, 71-60 yesterday. Let's head back to the rest of the footy news, and we will start with Marvel CEO Michael Green here, speaking about the backlash to security at the ground on Saturday evening, where a couple more fans were evicted during the Carlton-Western Bulldogs game.
What we're looking to curb is the use of foul language and vilification. I can assure you nobody's been actually kicked out of the stadium for barracking aggressively. Now, fans are feeling intimidated by that. We are listening to the feedback from fans, and we'll be reassessing our security procedures over the coming week.
So I'm sure plenty more on that throughout the morning. Mark Stevens will join the Breakfast Club after a quarter past eight. And we'll also get Rodney Eade's take on that as well when he joins us, the Monday analyst, from 7 o'clock in the studio. To Dale Morris here, he was on Channel 9 yesterday, explaining why he opted not to get that knee reconstructed. Remarkably, he might just be 1 week away from a comeback to footy.
The team I've got around me is a great team. We've got the surgeons, the doctors, the conditioning staff at the club. And I'm no spring chicken anymore. So for me, with the knee, there are a couple of options. Obviously, the surgery is the obvious option. But at 36, if I was to get a knee reco, it doesn't look good for next year. So we take everything into consideration. And part of that was whether I wanted to play again or not. And I love this game too much. I want to play for as long as I can. Even at 36, I'm not putting a line through me at all. Hopefully I can tick the boxes this week. I've got some testing I need to do, Cybex testing, jump and land testing, and get through training as well. Hopefully next week is the week. If not next week, then we'll aim again for the week after. But it's close. It's very close.
An incredible effort from Dale Morris, considering he injured that knee again just 12, well, a little over 12 weeks ago, opted against the reconstruction, and hopefully he makes his comeback for the Western Bulldogs. The Bionic Man, he's got plenty of injuries in his career, but has overcome most of them. He'd play with a couple of broken legs, Dale Morris. Just an update on the golf. Still waiting for the leaders to tee off a little later this morning. Gary Woodland leads the way at 11 under the card. Justin Rose at 10 under. Then Koepka, Reavie and Louis Oosthuizen at 7 under. The best of the Australians is Adam Scott. He'll tee off in about half an hour's time in a tie for 14th at 3 under the card. So something ridiculous would have to happen for him to be in contention late. Just an update on a couple of the other Aussies out on course at the moment. Mark Leishman is currently even in his final round and even for the tournament through three holes. Jason Day's just teed off. He's finished the second hole. He's one under for the day and one under overall through the tournament in a tie for 25th. A few of the other Australians as well. Cameron Smith finished his final round at one over for the day and eight over for the tournament. Matt Jones and Aaron Baddeley not making the cut. And Marcus Fraser, of course. So that is how it lies in the US Open, but it will be an intriguing last day with Brooks Koepka looming large on the horizon. Looking forward to seeing if he can make a late charge towards the leaders. Lots to get through on the Breakfast Club. Make sure you stick around. Half Whitey and Scotty Gallen are on their way on a very busy Monday morning. Plenty happened in the world of sport on the weekend, and we'll dissect it all for you in the next 2.5 hours on RSN 927.